The scripture reading before our lesson this morning will come from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and following. Matthew chapter 6, 24 and following. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day and its own trouble.
We are eternally grateful to be able to spend the last Sunday of the year together, and looking forward to, Lord willing, a good year on next year if he says the same. There is a QR code on the screen if you want to put your device or point your device toward it, and you can get the notes that we're going to be looking at on this morning. Hope, pray, and trust that all is well. It's good to see all of the smiling faces, and God is, of course, being glorified. What a great opportunity we have to worship God in spirit and in truth, to be able to come together to sing praises unto him, to remember our Savior, to thank God for who he is, to look at our own personal lives, make adjustments where adjustments are needing to be made, and to build up one another in the most holy faith. If you are visiting with us, we want to let you know you are indeed our honored guest. We're thankful for you being here, and we don't take that for granted here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. The world that we're living in today is doing a great deal of celebrating, and that's fine. But I'm so thankful that this day fell on the Lord's Day. And the reason why is because there are some that have literally shut their doors and worshiped yesterday so they could be off today. But I didn't know we had that option. There are some who wanted to spend time with their families today rather than the family of God. But I didn't know we had that option. One thing I've learned about the commands of God: when we consider the commands of God, they are indeed commands. But it's a beautiful blessing when those commands are kept by the people of God because they love him, not because they've been coerced to do so. When we think about this new year that we are about to embark upon, it requires old fundamental instructions, plain reminders. Peter would say on one occasion, as long as I am in this tent, I don't mind putting you in remembrance. We think about the paths of righteousness that God wants us to continue to remain in, true holiness. In 2023, I hope, pray, and trust that is the mentality that we will have. Having the mentality of not just seeking the old paths, but remaining on those old paths. The old paths concerning the kingdom of God, righteousness, and things that please God. Reminded on many occasions, the Apostle Paul and even Jesus, saying, I always do those things that please him, John 8:29. Fully pleasing him, Colossians 1:9-10. We stop and we consider those words. We, as the people of God, as we look forward to the new year, a fresh start, a spiritual start, hopefully it will help us in our psychological makeup, our mentality, the way we think, to be more secure in the transformation that God desires for us to take place in, thus being conformed to the image of his son, Jesus the Christ, Romans 8:29. The more and more I consider that and thinking about how we ought to be seeking transformation, not just in 2023, but we have to finish strong in 2022. For there will be many that will not see 2023. Hopefully we will, but if we don't, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, right? Yea, henceforth saith the Spirit, they do rest from their labors, their works will follow them, Revelation 14:13. There's so much more we can say about that, but I want to hurriedly get into the lesson on this morning, because when we stop and we consider seeking transformation in 2023, I couldn't help but to think about the Sermon on the Mountainside. What part should I use? Which one should I really focus in on? What passage? It caused me to think about Jesus' words in Matthew 6:24-34, and appreciate Brother Daniel reading that in a very eloquent way. We appreciate that. If you look at these particular passages and you think about Matthew 6:24-34, I want us to briefly look at just some of the quick points that I truly believe that will help us. And even though this is the first point, I'm really going to liken this unto 2 points. And the reason why is because of the length of this particular point. We consider transformation being changed from one thing to the other and being conformed, literally being molded out of one thing into another. I want us to consider the words of Jesus as he is talking to these Galilean Jews. And as he is speaking to them, he says something very interesting in verse number 24. Here he says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal or cling to the one and despise the other. But notice what he says. You can't serve God, Jehovah, and riches, mammon. If you're looking at your notes, the one that have been given to you, it's interesting that single-mindedness is vital to transformation. If our minds are going to be transformed, it's vital that we're single in our focus. One of the hardest things to be is single in focus, because of all of the distractions that come our way. Paul would say on one occasion that I'm pressed on every side. That does not mean that Paul was not focused, but those distractions in life sometimes causes us not to be as focused as God will have us to be. One cannot serve God and serve riches, which means that one must be focused, single-minded. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3 that we need to have that single-mindedness. He would say in the New King James, in the King James rendering, the simplicity that's found in Christ, that single-mindedness. It's interesting that as the people of God, transformation does not take place if I'm all over the place, if I'm not focused, if I'm not single-minded. And so one can't be focused on God and focus on something else. In the text, Jesus brings up mammon, riches. One can't be focused on both of them. One has to be focused on God and allow God to take care of the rest. But it's interesting that when we think about transformation, God has to be the one that we're focused on. His word, his will, his way. And so no wonder when you think of what I put in the notes, when we think about putting God first as mental awareness, when we understand that we are to be focused, it's going to require mental honesty, not having a pretense, not being one who is a hypocrite. But when God is the focal point, watch this, we have mental direction. When one does not have full submission to Jesus Christ, to God the Father, then they can find themselves in multiple places at one time, which means that they're not going to be good for anything. And for this reason, here Jesus demonstrates something very interesting, that single-mindedness is vital. Why? Because that will help me to understand that he's the one that's taking care of my essentials. God takes care of our essentials. Spiritually speaking, physically speaking, mentally speaking, he takes care of us. Therefore, he tells us, don't worry. Philippians 4, verse number 6, be anxious for nothing. Why? Why are we so anxious? It could be because of the distractions. It could be just like Peter, as he is walking on the water, the winds and the waves was hitting him. He begins to focus more on that instead of the one that said, come. And he begins to sink, and he says, well, at least he got his focus back. Lord, save me, right? Jesus reaches down his hand to him. Dependence upon God is vitally important. It's essential. Look at verses 25 and following. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, Christ is our life. Oftentimes, hear people say, well, you know, that car, that's my life. That job, that's my life. That wife that I have, that husband, they're my life. My family, that's my life. No, Christ is your life. Christ will take care of those other things. And so here he says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about those essentials in life. What you're going to wear. What you're going to eat. I find it also interesting that sometimes it's said God is going to take care of our food, clothing, and shelter. Well, God takes care of our food and clothing. Shelter was not promised. And that's true because we even see people living on the streets today. And we'll have those who will try to accuse God. See, if there's a God, then why does he allow people to live on the streets? God never promised shelter. Jesus would say on one occasion, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man don't have a place what? Lay his head. He didn't own any property. He didn't own any homes. That demonstrates to me that God was true. And God took care of Jesus' clothing. He took care of Jesus' food. He takes care of our clothing today. He takes care of our food. It's interesting that he says this, but notice what he says. In verse number 25, the latter part, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food? The answer is yes. And the body more than clothing? The answer is yes. Look at the birds of the air. Now, I put in the notes Job 12, verse 7 through 10. Go back and read that on your own time and give you a little summary there. As Job is going through his ordeal, and you remember his friends as they are accusing him of sin, and it's interesting that God brings up the birds through Job. Now you can speak to the creation and they'll tell you, I'll take care of them. You can find birds and they're picking in the ground and they'll come up and they'll, and then you'll find a mama bird and she'll go out and she'll come back to this nest and drop that whatever into the mouth of her birds. Why? God is taking care of them. That's interesting that God takes care of all of the animals through the ecosystem. He takes care of all things, which tells us that the God of heaven is a God of morality, that he takes care of that which he has created. He clothed the grass of the field. It looks beautiful. Saying that even Solomon was not even arrayed like what we see. We go on our adventures and we look at different places. and you see the beauties of the mountains, the hills. You see the beauties of the different seasons. You see the snow in different places. You see all of these things that God had created, and we are in awe when we look at those things. And God is teaching us, you think that's something? Watch how I take care of you. Sometimes we're so concerned about being taken care of that we forget to understand that God is taking care of that which doesn't even have conscience, that don't even have reasoning ability. As Peter and Jude would bring out, brute beasts, alagos, the idea of without reason, without the ability to put things together, have instinct but don't reason, only created beings that have reasoning capacities are angels and humans. And we can prove that. Why? Because even in the beginning, in heaven, if you will, we have angels that sin, and God created prepared hell for them. I believe that's Matthew 25, verse 41, 2 Peter 2, verse 5 or 4. But us, we're made in the image of God. We have conscience. We have the ability to think, to feel, and to act. And God is saying, I take care of those things that doesn't have conscience. I'll take care of you. You are made in my image. God will take care of us. So he brings birds. He brings creation up. I'm going to take care of them. I'll take care of you. And I love what Jesus says in verse number 26. He says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he asks very pertinent questions. Pay attention here, brethren. Are you not of more value than they? Yes, we are. Human beings are not on the same level as animals. That beautiful dog you may have, a cat, or whatever animal you like to have, you have dominion over that. You are not equated to that. And sometimes because of the lack of morality and the lack of transformation in the minds of people, they act like animals. Amen. And God says, I don't want you to act like animals. I don't even want you to consider yourself like that. Why? Because if you think like that, then you'll think that I won't take care of you. God will always take care of his people. Are you not of more value than they? The answer is yes. Will worrying provide the necessities in your life? The answer is no. God requires us to work hard. For man will not eat or work, neither shall he eat. Which demonstrates to me that, okay, I need to do whatever needs to be done in order to feed myself as if it depends on me. But I need to trust in God as if it all depends on him. Sounds like balance, right? I was talking to a guy the other day. He said something that I appreciated. He said, I'm looking for land, and I was praying to God for this land. It's a true story. He said, you know, I've been thinking about this. He said, you know, if God's going to bless me with land, I think I need to start looking up where land is. I said, that's a good idea. I said, I really wish members of the Lord's church would think like that, and hopefully we do. Hopefully we don't think that we're going to go to God in prayer and we just sit there and wait. No, you got to do your part. You want to eat? You might need to get your rifle out and go hunt. That's fine. Might get your rod and reel and go fishing. Can't sit at home and wait for a check. Amen. I know we have trained our nation to sit at home and wait for a check. But God doesn't operate that way. For even under the old covenant, when God had the children of Israel to glean the fields, to leave the corners for the widows, the strangers. Why? Because God takes care of all men, Galatians 6, 9, and 10. But he required the widows and the strangers to come and pluck it themselves. I believe God made his point clear. We ought to do likewise. And so with that being said, God does not want us to worry. The Christian must exercise true faith and trust in God. Brethren, did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, he wants us to exercise true faith and trust. Similar, but not the same. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. You can't have faith. You can't obtain faith. You can't get faith any other way. You got to go to the word of God to get that. Trust, confidence, credence, reliance. In what? In what God says. There's one thing to know. There's another thing to believe what you know. Do we believe that? And on many occasions, Jesus would tell his disciples, oh, ye a little faith, why did you doubt? Meaning, why didn't you trust? I already told you. And so Paul would say, I trust in the living God. I believe in God. And I'm going to make sure that I do what God would have me to do. And so worrying, God does not want us to worry. Look at verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Therefore, do not worry. Do not be anxious. Don't be overly concerned what you shall eat or what we will drink. What shall we wear? For after all these things, watch it, the Gentiles are seeking. Those who Paul would say in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19, they're not seeking after God. As a matter of fact, they're trusting in their own way, their own will, their own works, their own mentality. Jesus said, no, the Gentiles, they're always trying to seek out how they're going to get something done. They don't trust God. Paul said, don't be faithless. Don't be directionless. Be one who understands that God takes care of us. And brethren, we need to have that mentality. We need to continue to have that mentality and not be like Martha when Jesus told her, Martha, Martha, you worry about many things. And sometimes we're concerned about the wrong things. God is teaching us, no, I need you to work hard and be fully understanding of that. I will take care of you. And brethren, God will take care of his people. Look at Isaiah chapter 65. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 24, learned this a few years back in a debate, and this brother brought this particular point out, and it was astounding that God knows exactly what we need before we know it, and even while we're asking. God knows exactly what we need, which means that when we have a necessity, when we have a need, and we go to God, we're not catching God off guard. We're not catching God off guard. Oh, I didn't know you needed that. No, that's man. God knows exactly what we need before we ask. But notice Isaiah 65 and verse number 24, what the Bible says. It shall come to pass that before they call, literally before they pray, before they petition, before they ask, he says, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, what? I will hear. You know what God is teaching us? Even in the days of Isaiah, what is God teaching us? From the mouth of Jesus Christ himself, I know what you need. Your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask. Our problem sometimes, Mike Bonner's problem sometimes, is not asking. And the reason why you receive not, you know the rest, right? You ask not. And sometimes when we ask amiss the wrong motives. And God is teaching us, I need you to transform your mind. I need you to change your way of thinking. I need you to think like this. Trust me. Trust me. And so as we seek transformation, we want to trust God. And so look at verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6. In verse 33, Jesus culminates it all. He puts it all together. He brings it all to the forefront, if you will. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. The word seek there means to find by thinking, meditating, and reasoning. To inquire, to crave, to aim at. This is your focal point. God says, I need you to focus on this. This is what I need you to focus on, Mike. I need you to focus on this. And if I'm not focused on that, that means I have a divided allegiance. If my allegiance is divided, depending on the level or the degree of divided allegiance, it's going to determine the degree of how far I might be off. And so, no wonder Jesus could say to Pilate, the one that handed me over to you had committed the greatest sin. And so we think about this in degrees. Here, if I'm not focused, if my allegiance is divided, then I'm not going to be craving what? First, the kingdom. And brethren, what is the kingdom? Matthew 16, 18, we discussed this in Bible class. The kingdom is the church of our Lord, Matthew 16, 18, 19. The church of Christ, Romans 16 and verse number 16. And no wonder when we stop and we think about what is Jesus saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Those things related to the kingdom of God, principal things, spiritual things, godly things. No wonder as Jesus is saying these things and making that transition, if you will, from the Mosaic system to his system, the system of Jesus Christ, the church of Christ. No wonder. I need you to focus on this. What do I need you to focus on? I need you to focus on the kingdom. And remember, Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I need you to focus on this. And when you focus on this, these other things fall in place. But that's not all that he said. He said, but seek first the kingdom, crave, desire, meditate, strive, inquire, the kingdom of God. Copulative conjunction and his righteousness. Right living. In Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul, by inspiration, will tell us what this righteousness is. It's the gospel. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Right there. So what are we talking about? To seek first the kingdom is to seek first the church. And his righteousness? Right living. Or the gospel, or that means by which one is approved or declared right by God. Brethren, Jesus is saying that's what we need to be searching for. That's what we ought to be seeking. Now, that's our focal point. Again, we have all of these distractions, and some of these distractions are just part of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 33 to about verse number 38, as it relates to the married individual and how that person is so supposed to be focused on the things of the world and how they may please their spouse. So Brother Roy says, we got to deal with this world. We have to contend with it. However, it requires a laser focus to be a child of God, to be one that's going to focus on the kingdom of God, the Lord's church and his righteousness, that idea of being declared right with God. And sometimes what we do, W-E, we focus on the addition rather than the kingdom and the righteousness. And so we try to make things happen for ourselves. And so we develop that mentality and attitude, been there, done that. I got to go out here and make that paper. I got to go out there and make that money. And so what I need to do, if I got to skip church, I just got to skip church. If I got to skip Bible class, I just got to skip Bible class. If I don't have time to study with my family, I just got time. I mean, I got to provide. Well, that's true. But it's not true. Why? Because God said through his son Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all. He didn't say some. He didn't say 99.9%. He said all these things will be added unto you. Brethren, do we believe that? We know it. We hear it. But do we trust it? And I truly believe there's a fine line of growth and development and maturity that's required in order to get to that point. I know how it is, and I'll let you in on some of my business. I know how it is to be chasing that dollar to the point where you're out. I used to work on cars in my garage, 1 a.m, get up at 6 a.m, get ready to go to work again. Baby, I got to make that money. I got to pay these bills. But I didn't spend any time at the house, even though I was at the house. Y'all get that? I'm just telling you what happened. That's just the facts. And I look back sometime and like, Mike, you didn't make that much in order to give up so much. And sometimes we do that. And then when you boil it down and stop and think about it, you're just spending all that time to make all of that money to buy things that really are not even necessities. But God says, I'm going to take care of your necessities. Be something different if you was trying to buy clothes and food. But that's not what we're trying to do. Just being honest. I'm just telling you what happened with me. But I know for a fact it happens to all of us. Be careful. So as we go into 2023, have your mind made up. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God first. I'm going to seek his righteousness. And I'm going to trust God to add to my life what's going to be added. And he'll never let me down. Point two, and the last point. Transformations needing sought after in the year to come. What is going to require? What will this require? Number one, the mind of Christ. Well, I could throw Philippians 2 and verse number 5 out there. Let's turn there and we can leave it blanket, but I can't leave it blanket. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, won't allow us to leave that statement out there blanket. Why? Because what was Paul talking about as it relates to the mind of Christ? Verses 1 through 4, Tobias, you dealt with this a few weeks ago. Appreciate that. You think of verses 1 through 4 of esteeming others better than self. We stop and we consider this, and God wants us to be a people that are going to be of one mind, of one accord, don't have any selfish ambitions nor conceit. Why? Because when we're seeking to be transformed from the person that we are into the person of Jesus Christ, brethren, it's going to require great humility. It's going to require us being led by the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, Romans 8, verse 14, which is going to require us denying ourselves daily, taking up the cross. One of the hardest things to do as a person is to say no to self, especially when God wants us to go in one another direction. And so seeking transformation is very important. So we let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? The mind that esteems others better than self. The mind that has the mentality is not about me. The mind that has the mentality, I'm seeking God's interest. And so we have to make up our mind to fully follow him. Number two under that, becoming doctrinally sounder in the faith. Brethren, did you hear that? It's amazing that through fellowship, and that'll be our next point, but through fellowship, you get to learn some things. This morning, the Lord has blessed me to be able to teach. I don't take that for granted. But one thing I look forward to is hearing Bible students make comments, and I get to pull my pen out and write that in the Bible because I didn't think about that. I didn't see that. What a blessing, right? And now because of statements and comments made, I'm doctrinally sounder than I was before I received that message. You know what happens when we don't come to Bible class? Oh, yeah, I'm coming down your road, and I'm coming down 100 miles an hour. But I'm not going to hit you. Mm-mm. I'm just going to come down the road. Hopefully you're on the sidewalk, and you'll get to see what I'm talking about. You know what happens when you don't come to Bible class? You don't become more doctrinally sounder at that time. Or yes, you can go get it yourself. However, when you hear it and you get to say, whoa, that's an excellent point. Whoa, that makes some sense right here. Whoa, what the Bible just taught me is amazing here. Why? Because I'm seeking to become more scripturally sounder because of study. And so Paul would say in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we know the text, study, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. Brother, how much time are we really spending in the Word of God? Not so we can debate someone. No, no, no. If you're going to study the Word of God, it should be for your personal growth first, right? It should be for your personal moral development. So the regeneration process can continue. Remember, because of sin, one goes into degeneration, because when one is born, they're born generated, meaning that they're born sinless. They're born right with God. But then sin enters into the heart at whatever age, and degeneration takes place. They go backwards from a moral, spiritual perspective. And now one has to obey the gospel, Titus 3, verse 3 through 5, and they have to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. That's interesting. We want to become more sound in the faith so we can defend our faith. Go to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, I said I was going to bring this point out in Bible class. I'm going to bring it out right here. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel, being a godly man, one that God was with, was known, had the reputation. Friends, did you just hear what I said? He had the reputation of being, according to the King James rendering, verse number 11 rather, a dissolver of doubts. A dissolver of doubts. One who solved riddles. Let's read this real quick. I'm almost finished. There's a man in your kingdom in whom the Spirit of the Holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, dissolver of doubts, one would say in the New King James rendering, solving riddles and explaining enigmas, those dark sayings, if you will. Drop down to verse number 13. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding, excellent wisdom are found in you. Notice some keys to dissolving doubt. Light, understanding, excellent wisdom. Brethren, we can't obtain those things without the Word of God. We cannot obtain those things without studying the Word of God. We cannot obtain those things without being diligent and intentional in the reading of the Word of God. No wonder Paul was saying in Ephesians 3 and verse number 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. But look at verse 14. Verse number 15, rather. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. Wonder why. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretation and explain enigmas. The New King James rendering, the King James renders this, dissolve doubts. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have chains of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. You know, God actually did this through him. And Daniel turns around and gives him the glory because of this. Here's the point. You know, we can do the same thing with the Word of God and proper study, that when people come and they ask us questions about our faith, about what we believe, hard questions, you can say, you know, I don't really know the answer to that, but let me get back to you. Let me go study that. Give me a week. That's a pretty difficult subject. Or maybe something easy. Here's a good evangelism tip. You may know the answer, but instead of giving them the answer, won't you go and you study that? And I'm going to go home and study it, and you already know the answer, but you're going to go brush up on some things. And the next thing you know, you're having a good discussion. You're bringing to light the things that are in the dark in the mind of that person. Brethren, the Bible is right. The Word of God is right. We can be dissolver of doubts if we just read and study and understand what the will of the Lord is, and we can. Let no one tell you that you're dumb. Let no one tell you that you can't understand the Word of God. Let no one tell you that you're stupid. You're not. You're made in the image of God. You have intelligence. You are intelligent. You are someone. Therefore, study the Word of God for yourself. And like Daniel had the reputation, you should have the reputation of being one who is moral, upright, one who is striving to do that which is right, one who studies the Word of God, one who reads the Word of God, one who applies the Word of God. That should be your reputation. Transformation, that should be the key. But notice letter C, seeking opportunities to fellowship. And when we stop and we think about this, on yesterday, we thank Brother Chad and Brother Dustin for setting up some opportunities to fellowship, hayride. We knew that everyone wasn't going to come, but that's fine. But just the opportunity to get us together, thank you. And I speak from an elder's perspective. Thank you for doing that. Wow, we need all the opportunities to come together as humanly possible. And as the social media, as the internet world continues to grow, and we're inundated with all of these different messages, and we fellowship with people online, brethren, we need opportunities to come together. And the fun we had, to see the smile on the children's faces, to sing carols, it was a beautiful thing. And then to play a little ball afterwards at the Y. That was a beautiful thing. And to see Tobias take advantage of old people was not a beautiful thing. but here's the point. That would not have taken place if fellowship wasn't fostered. And to see the old man Chad go after the way that he did. Yeah. What's the point, Brother Mike? Let's just get together in fellowship and talk and communicate, for the world is vying for our attention. Guess who else is? God. God is vying for our attention, that we can be transformed and conformed, that brotherly love can continue, that we can grow in our fondness. And that's 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, that fondness, that brotherly love, that fondness. There's one thing, brethren, to go to church with someone. There's another thing to be fond of someone. And that's that word, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, to be fond. There's some people that we're just fond of, that life is different when they're not around. Well, we do this through singing, through praying, through worship. That's why we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves. We ought to come to services. And again, the religious world had services on yesterday so they can be free today. Hold up. I thought the command was for today. I didn't know we had that option. Well, that's just the way they see it, Brother Mike. Well, when are we going to see it the way God sees it? Because Jesus wasn't raised on Saturday, he was raised on Sunday. And the first time that a person had their sins washed away by the power of Jesus Christ being king on his throne was in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, which is always on a Sunday after Saturday. Brethren, we don't have that option. And so when we come together on the first day of the week, we come together to encourage each other. The last little point is yours. I believe we got the point across. Hope, pray, and trust that we look for opportunities to just do good and seek opportunities to be transformed, to be changed. I know that I can use some changing, and I know that you can too. And as long as Jesus is on the right hand of the throne of God, men and women are dying, people have an opportunity to come to the gospel, to come to God, to have the sins washed away through obedience to the gospel. Brethren, don't wait. Don't wait to be transformed. Don't wait to be conformed to the image of Christ. Don't wait to do that which is right. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Maybe you're not a child of God, and well, you've been contemplating being immersed into Christ. You've been contemplating the gospel message. Don't put it off. Because the last thing you want is to be on the outside when the bridegroom comes. To be almost persuaded is to not be persuaded at all if the Lord was to come. And so we want you to consider the gospel plan of salvation. And make no mistake about it, brethren, it's a plan. I know some say, well, there's no real plan of salvation. Yes, there is. The plan includes Jesus Christ suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross of Calvary, being raised from the dead to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. The plan includes the kingdom of God, which Philip would preach in Acts 8 and verse number 12. Brethren, there's a plan, and that plan involves one hearing, understanding the gospel message of Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and being willing to repent of sin, turn away from sin, and allow the transformation process to continue to take place by being baptized into water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll forgive you for all of your sins. He'll put you in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. He'll put you in the church of Christ, Romans 16 and verse number 16. And just live faithful. Just be faithful to God. And God will say through his Son, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. What more do you want? Again, so many giving up life for stuff down here. Don't do that. Again, if you're a child of God and we can help you in any way, let us stand as we sing the song of invitation.